Twins and Tigers coming up from Target Field today. Our lineup card begins at 12:30. First pitch at 1:10. Bailey Ober on the mound today for the Twins as they try and get on track. Remember, they went 2-0 out of the gate in Kansas City. Since then, they are 4-12, and right now riding a 5-game losing streak, including a 5-4 decision to the Tigers last night. We'll have more on that. Some highlights from that ballgame. Twins got a home run from Trevor Larnach. They got a big 2-RBI double from Byron Buxton to tie it, but the Tigers pull out the win late in that game. And the Twins, already in April, digging a big hole in the American League Central Division. The only good news, the Chicago White Sox have managed 3 wins in 19 starts this year. Chicago, a major league worst, 3-16 out of the gate. Some other headlines in the NBA. The playoffs get started. The play-in tournament in the rearview mirror. And the Timberwolves play game one against Phoenix today. It's going to be very busy downtown with the Twins and Tigers starting at 1:10. And then at 2:30 next door at Target Center, it'll be the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns in game one at 2:30. And then game two coming up on Tuesday. The conventional wisdom, Josh Wheeler, is that the Timberwolves have to win game one. And I know it's not an elimination game, so it's not a must win, but it's about as close as you can get. And I really buy into that theory that we've heard all week, is that the Timberwolves need to come out strong and they need to win game one.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this is a must win. It's never fun to play from behind, and I feel like that's kind of the Minnesota sports tradition, is we always play from behind in a series. We don't see too often where, except for the Twins last year, where we are up 1-0 in a series. It doesn't happen very often. But I also kind of buy into the coaching mentality that Mike Anori and other people have been talking about in the last week, where they weren't really they had a lot of hidden cards in their deck last week when it comes to facing the Suns, because you don't want to put all your you don't want to lay out your hand completely with this team, especially when you basically knew going into that game that that was probably going to be the last team standing in that scenario. And honestly, that the team's going to be it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. The Suns are not a very good team when it comes to finishing games. I know the Wolves have had their fair share of issues when it comes to finishing off games, but that was most of like last season and the season before. They've actually improved in that area this year when it comes to making sure that they wrap things up and get the win. And I think we see a big resurgence of Mike Conley. I think that's going to be the wild card, if you will, in this series.
Yeah, Timberwolves and Suns game one, huge game to get off to a good start. My concern is that the Timberwolves have struggled against the Suns this year, and they have Devin Booker and they have Kevin Durant. Now, the Timberwolves have their share of talent. There is no doubt about that. But Karl Anthony Towns, where is he in the recovery from his injury? They say he's 100%. There are no limits. But all of these guys he's playing against have been through the grind of an 82-game season. And I have to believe that there are some conditioning issues. So I don't know if Kat is in mid-season form, if you will. That is a concern. And then beyond that, you have Anthony Edwards. So those are your two scorers. And you would think the Suns, with that level of talent, particularly high-end talent in Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, this figures to be a challenging series, a long series, but a big game coming up at Target Center. Hey, Josh, your Wild are done for the year, and they move into the offseason, no playoff appearance, and one more year to go under the Parisi Suter salary cap issues.
If I'm being honest, I don't think there's not a lot to be excited for in this next season. I think it's just a kind of like you got to grind it out for one more season kind of feel. I'm sure October, the excitement and not having hockey around will be, it'll make things feel a little bit more optimistic. But honestly, I don't see a scenario where much changes between now and July 4th of 2025 is the official 14-year expiration of that deal. 13 or 14, I can never remember which one
it
is.
13, but, yeah, 13. Who's counting?
Yeah, so it's definitely kind of one of those, all right, this season's done. There was not a whole lot of expectations. Billy Guerin said it in his press conference with the media the other day that it's and spoke with Chad Hartman about this as well. You fell beyond the eight ball early. It's hard to get back in front of that eight ball when you have somebody like Jared Spurgeon go down, and then you have all their key players follow that. So I think this next season it'll be optimism, and there's obviously Carrillo falling just short of the 50 goal mark while still looking for their first ever 50 goal scorer in a season. But there's optimism, but I'm more so looking forward to when we clear that bar.
Yeah, and then it becomes all about what Bill Guerin is able to do with that flexibility. So the Wild are done. Loons on the road at Charlotte. That'll be a Sunday late afternoon game in these parts. And by the way, PGA Tour, an elevated event a week after the Masters, and a pretty good leaderboard, including Fargo's own Tom Hoagie, will start the third round in a four-way tie atop the leaderboard, along with Colin Morikawa. They are at 11 under par. But some big names lurk as play starts today. Rory McIlroy, 8 under par. Scottie Scheffler, we all know him, number one player in the world. He has a new green jacket in the closet, and he is at minus 8. And so some big names on the leaderboard. Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, that is the RBC Heritage. And the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs getting set to start as well. But as we mentioned, Wild not part of it this season. Twins, Tigers, game one, chilly night at Target Field. Tip of the cap to all the fans that braved the chilly weather at Target Field last night. Twins fans felt pretty good about Trevor Larnach hitting a two-run shot early in the ball game.
And this ball well hit right field for Larnach. Let it go. It's gone. Trevor Larnach into the second level in right field. And it's 2-1 Twins on Larnach's first blast of the year.
Yeah, and Twins fans have been waiting for the bats to come alive. They trailed, but Byron Buxton came to the plate, and he thought he hit one over the fence. It didn't turn out that way.
And here's 3-2. Hit high in the air down the left field line. Might have a chance. Buck flips the bat, and it's going to be off the wall. Twins are going to tie it up. Buxton around first, hustling into second, and barely makes it.
So what could have been a home run, he thought it was a home run, didn't quite make it, but he was safe at second base. 4-4 into the late innings. Tigers pull out the win.
The 0-1. Swung on, line back up the middle. That's a base hit for Perez. They'll send Meadows. The throw from Byron Buxton, cut middle of the diamond, and it's 5-4 Tigers in the top of the ninth. First career three-hit game for Wincell Perez.
So Tigers go on to get the 5-4 victory, and the manager, Rocco Baldelli, talked to the media, as always, following the ball game, and talked about that Friday night loss.
It is a hard one. It's a hard game. We've had plenty of hard games so far in a short period of time here. We had plenty of opportunities to get stuff going and to close out innings and to play cleaner baseball. I sit there towards the end of the game and I'm like, well, there's just a lot of things I can look at, and I think anyone watching the game can look at, that we can just do better and put ourselves in a better position to win. We still have to score. We still have to score some more runs, and they kind of helped us out a little bit. We kind of helped them out a little bit during the game. Going back and forth, they were just able to take advantage of it just a little bit better than us.
All right, there he is, the manager, Rocco Baldelli. And he did spend a little more time on some of the defensive shortcomings in the game last night. The box score had the Twins with 4 runs, 5 hits, and 1 error, but it was not a clean game with the glove.
We're playing a lot of slim margin games. We're playing a lot of one-run type ball games. We have to play clean. If we don't play clean, we're just going to hand base runners and potentially runs to the opposition. So we're not in a position to be doing that right now. Hopefully, everyone makes mistakes in the game. Like I want to be clear. Like we play a lot of baseball. The game's played at a high rate of speed, and there's a lot going on out there. Nobody is going to play perfect baseball, even the best teams in the game. But when you're playing, when you're struggling to score runs the way we want to, and the way we think we can, we just have to pitch and play better defense to make up for it at the moment.
So they turn the page and try and get a W today, game two of the three-game set with the Tigers. Once again, Twins 6-12, Tigers 11-9. Bailey Ober will be on the mound. And a look at the standings, well, Cleveland leading the way at 14-6 going into play today. Kansas City one game back, 13-7. Then it's Detroit, three games out. Twins seven back, and then Chicago, worst record in the majors at 3-16. They're already 10.5 games back, and it is April 20th. Wow. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll go into the writer's corner. Phil Miller covers the club for the Star Tribune, and he'll join us on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is the Twins and the Tigers. Weather improving after a chilly night at Target Field on Friday night. It's still breezy. There is cloud cover. We're at 36 degrees, but top out near 50 later today, and then tomorrow a dandy for the final game of the series, sunny and 61 for the Twins and the Tigers. It has been a struggle for the home nine. Phil Miller covers the club for the Star Tribune. Phil, always good to visit with you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve.
Yeah, We got some injury news late in spring training. It seems to have continued early in the season. And anything that could go wrong has gone wrong for this club so far. At least they're not the White Sox, but it's been a really tough start.
At least they're not the White Sox. Isn't much of a rallying cry, but you're right. Boy, you look at all the offensive statistics. And there are three teams at the bottom, the White Sox, the A's, and the Twins, all in the last three positions in just about every category. Today's news about Daniel Duarte is just so sad. He was so excited to make the team in camp. He pitched so well in camp and was really excited. And he got, two innings in, I think, before being done for the season. It's just kind of representative of what's gone on.
Yeah, and you think about the number of injuries they dealt with. Closer Johan Duran on the comeback trail. Max Kepler, if memory serves, it seems like it's been a month and a half ago. He took the foul ball. He's been on the injured list, so a couple of key guys coming back around the comeback trail anyway.
Yeah, and with Mac, in Max's case, you hope it's more than just a physical comeback. Max has one hit this year. His batting average, as you'll notice when he steps to the plate, is 0.50 for the season. So getting guys back, not having to depend on Willie Castro and Kyle Farmer and Austin Martin, who's actually played pretty well, but getting some of the starters back healthy and playing well, that's what it's going to take. It needs to happen soon. It's still April, but there's seven games out already. I can't believe I'm actually looking at the standings, but you wonder how far is two.
Phil Miller joining us. He is Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune. He's on the beat with Bobby Nightingale and joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. When you were down in Florida in Fort Myers and we would visit, we would talk about the potential of the lineup with three guys in the middle of it, and that was Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton has been healthy. He has struggled. He had a two RBI double that tied the game last night, but it has certainly been a struggle for him. Carlos Correa on the injured list. Hard to say how long he'll be out, But we now know Royce Lewis is probably post-Memorial Day, the way it looks for a return.
Yeah, I heard when it happened that Royce would try to be back in a week, and actually the Twins thought 2 months minimum. They were thinking June all along, and that's if everything goes well. But like you say, nothing is going well for the Twins this year. I'll tell you how, as one measure of how bad things are, if you look at their leaders in WAR, wins above replacement level,
right.
Royce is still eighth on the team in WAR, and he's only had two at-bats. He's probably their best hitter when he plays now, and they're missing him more than anyone for sure.
Yeah, Phil, another guy I wanted to get your thoughts on, and I think this is a symptom of the whole ball club struggling with at bats. But when you look at, you know, some veteran guys that have been around and continue to struggle, it's a bit of a surprise considering how well Byron Buxton felt. But another guy that, you know, has just been struggling mightily since coming over to the Twins is Carlos Santana.
He is, and, you know, there was always some risk of that there. He is 38 years old. He's 38 and a power hitter. Those guys don't age particularly well. He only hit 11 homers, I think, last year, and about the same the year before. So, he's already tapering off. It didn't cost him much, $5 million, I think. So it was his glove they thought would be a part of the value that he brought as well. But, he doesn't look like mid-prime Carlos Santana anymore. There's certainly big reason to worry there. It's if they have to let him go, it's not going to be a big cost. And I don't think they were expecting him to be a middle of the lineup guy this year. But it's hard to pick out his performance this year as. Oh no, he's the guy that's really hurting the team because there are I don't know, half a dozen guys in the lineup hitting below 200. But I will say you're right. He's bounced from team to team to team in the last 3 years, and we're kind of seeing the reason why now. He had a decent spring. I'm a little surprised that the floor has dropped out from under him.
Well, Phil, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time ahead of the ball game today. Twins and Tigers, Bailey Ober on the mound, and we'll visit again soon. Thanks.
Okay, Steve, remember, those White Sox come to town soon, so things got to get better, right?
Three-win White Sox, already double digits out of first. Phil Miller joining us from the Star Tribune. We've got the ball game, the lineup card, coming up next here on CCO.